Okay, up to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. So David has now become king of all of Israel, the south and the north, and he's won some military victories, and so things are settling down a little bit. His attention turns more to God and the ark. So chapter 6, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel. 30,000. So he got an army together like he was going out to war. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. So the ark has been just sitting outside while David's been dealing with battles and this and that, and so he's ready to bring the ark to Jerusalem. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Okay, the best of man's plans. Okay, oh, let's get a brand new cart. That'll be the way to do this. A brand new, not one that's ever been used before, but a brand new cart. Well, even the Philistines did that when they wanted to get rid of the ark. They put it on a new cart and turned it loose, you know. So, but David is not consulting God this time. He just decided, we'll just put it on a nice new cart and bring it back. And he brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. So you got this cart with a couple of oxen in front, probably. And so they're walking beside and driving the oxen and trying to lead this cart. Because David wants the ark with him, because God has been blessing the house of Abinadab. That's where the ark has been, and it symbolizes God's presence, and so he's getting blessings. Well, David wants that for himself. He wants to move that, and it would be appropriate for it to be in the capital. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, and accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries, timbrels, cornets, and cymbals. So they've made quite a parade out of it. This is a big celebration. They're going to bring the ark back to the capital. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Okay, so one of Abinadab's sons, Uzzah, was apparently, he was walking behind next to the ark, and you know how oxen are, they're not the most careful beast in the world, and so they stumbled or something, and the ark is kind of tall and top heavy, would be quite top heavy because of the gold and the angels on top and all this, and so when they rocked it, it was going to fall over, and of course, Uzzah, what he naturally did, you don't want the ark to fall off the cart, so he reached up and put his hand up there to steady it. Okay? The best of intentions. He meant no harm. He meant no disrespect. He was just doing what he thought he had to do. You know, one, you just probably don't even think about it. You just instantly do it. But even if he had thought about it, I think he would have, because it's like, well, I can't let it fall off. I've got to take care of it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now that seems a little harsh, doesn't it? I mean, he was just trying to help, you know, but God said, you're not supposed to touch it. Now, it wasn't Uzzah's fault. He shouldn't have been bringing it this way. It was David's fault. But Uzzah's the one that touched it, so Uzzah got the judgment. Thing is, God is a God of justice, and you break his rules, and you get his punishments. Okay, so he is gracious and good. I don't think this means that Uzzah's in hell forever or anything like that, but that was the end of his life on earth right then and there. God says, no, you respect my ark. You don't touch it. And David was displeased. Well, yeah. Not as displeased as Uzzah was, but because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Okay, breach upon Uzzah, that's all it was. So David wasn't happy with God about this. Like, God, how dare you? You ruined a good party. Okay, we were having a great time and bringing it in, and we were trying to please you. Well, if you want to please God, you've got to do it God's way. No other way is acceptable. What is not of faith is sin. And we forget that. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So now he stops and thinks about it and fears God. It's like, wait a minute, we can't just put it on a cart and bring it in. How are we going to do this? Well, we need to do it God's way. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. So he said, all right, let's just park this thing until we figure out what to do with it. It's too dangerous. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. So again, it's bringing blessings to somebody else. I don't know why it took David 3 months to figure out what to do about it. That seems a little slow, but he's just afraid to mess with it again. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. So then he said, nope, I better go get it. But this time at least he gets the priest and does it right. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord, they didn't put it on a cart, they bear it on their shoulders like they were supposed to. They'd gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. So he decided to have an altar there right after they got started. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So he's put aside his royal robes, and he has a linen ephod on like a priest, like Samuel. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpets. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So David is celebrating out leading the ark. He's celebrating, not acting very dignified, very kingly. And so when Michal looks out, she's like, oh, how embarrassing. You know, you're just going to embarrass me. Where's your royal dignity? Where's your, you know, that sort of thing. And David doesn't care. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place and in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread, a good piece of flesh, a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. So he fed them all before they left. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." Well, I don't think he was indecent. He was just, you know, wasn't in his royal robes. Okay, he wasn't acting like king. He was doing the part of the priest or whatever. And so Michal is just sarcastic as she can be. She's not happy with him. And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord." So she said, you weren't, my father would have never done that. You know, he would have dignified and kept his, and that was so important, and her pride was hurt and this and that. And David said, well, he's gone. God chose me over him. So, "And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them I will be had in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." Well, you know, it's not like he doesn't have a whole passel of other wives. So she just kind of cooked her goose. She's out of favor there. Of course, she hadn't been real happy with David for quite a while now. "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from his enemies." So it's not a constant battle for survival. The Philistines are still around, but God's given him victories and things have settled down. "And the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." So Hiram of Lebanon came and sent workmen and cedar trees and everything and built David a nice palace to live in. He's got a big fancy cedar house. And cedar's great because it doesn't rot. So, and when we were in Jefferson, Texas, the old houses there, Jefferson is right on the edge of a lake, bog and this and that, but it has a lot of cypress and cedar and bodark and those real hardwood trees. And a lot of the older houses were built out of that cypress and all because it wouldn't rot. It was a great foundation. There's even some bodark and the foundation of our house. But they used it all. There's none left. There's not any there in Jefferson anymore. But he just built a tabernacle. That's what the ark had always been in, was in a tent. And so he built it by the instructions that were given to Moses. And so he's saying, you know, I'm living a better house than the ark of God. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Just go ahead. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? God's like, wait a minute. You think you can build a house that's good enough for me? What it's got now is a tabernacle that's built the way God said to build it. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, and following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness affect them any more as before times. He said, I am going to settle the people down. I'm going to stay in one place now. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. So, you know, everybody died. So the best you can hope for is that you leave a legacy that your descendants will follow in your footsteps. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So that's a pretty big promise. So, you know, you're going to die, but your descendant is going to reign forever. Of course, that it's not Solomon, because he didn't reign forever, but Jesus Christ did. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all his vision, so Nathan spake unto David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. So David's pretty happy about this. It's like, okay, great, you can give me a perpetual throne. and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts of God over, is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessings let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So God didn't let David build the temple, but he said, I'm going to give you a perpetual kingdom. It will continue. So that was the great promise, because David had a heart for God, and so he's going to bless God, bless David. I mean, he has more kings after him, but it's really the promise of the Messiah, because he's the only one that will reign forever. Okay, so God has given David that great promise, so David is humbled by that. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your blessings and how you worked through David, and just pray we can learn much from your dealings with him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.